to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today brings us to Acts chapter 15. Let's listen to all 41 verses of Acts 15.
Acts 15. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers,
"Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved."
And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said,
"It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses."
The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them,
"Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will."
And all the assembly fell silent. And they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied,
"Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues."
Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter:
"The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it has seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell."
So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch. and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas,
"Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they are."
Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
Arguments, disagreements, dissension. How do we handle such uncomfortable situations from a biblical perspective? Well, in chapter 15, it gives us some good ideas, some tips, and a good example. You see, the major question facing the early church was, do newly converted Gentiles need to adhere to the long-standing Jewish laws and customs? A big question. How do they resolve this very contentious issue? In chapter 15, I come up with 6 steps to deal with arguments, disagreements, and dissension. 1. They gather together. Face each other when you have issues. Verse 6 says, "The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter." Secondly, air it out. Debate the issue. Look at verse 7. "And after there had been much debate, so they had a long discussion. They got their issues on the table." Thirdly, and very important, they listened to each other. They listened to all sides of the arguments. So let's take a look starting at verse 5. It says, "But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, 'It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses.'" That certainly was one side of the argument. The other side, Peter, one of the leaders, stood up and said, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." So Peter, he makes the other side of the argument. And by the way, verse 11 is the key to the argument. "But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." Next, they listened to the experience of Paul and Barnabas as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James, and who was James? He was the leader of the Jerusalem church. He was the brother of Jesus. He speaks up. And step number 4 was that they looked to the word. James, as he's arguing, quotes the word of God. He's actually quoting Amos. Finally, step number 5, they come to one accord. They agree on a course of action. Verse 25 says, "It has seemed good to us, having come to one accord." And in verse 22 it says, "Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them." So when we have a debate, an argument, a dissension, we've got to come to a decision. And the apostles and the elders were able to do so. And finally, step number 6. They sent the answer to those who needed to know. And they sent it both in writing and orally. So in other words, when a decision gets made, communicate it. Communicate it to those who need to know. Now just think, if all arguments, disagreements, and dissensions were handled with these six steps, how much easier it would be to come to consensus, to come to agreements. And that's partly why I love the Word of God. Yeah, I love it for many, many reasons. But one is that it gives us answers to life's problems. It gives us biblical ways to handle some of the situations that we face. So if you have an argument, a disagreement, a dissension, right now, hopefully you can remember these six steps and you can give a biblical roadmap a try in handling your situation. Lord, we thank you that these early leaders of the church were able to come to consensus over a very delicate issue. We thank you that they were passionate and that they debated the issue and that they came to one accord. They agreed and they communicated their decision to those who needed to know. We thank you for biblical examples of how we can live our lives. The Word of God can help us in the difficult decisions that we face. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.